Let's all stand, please. Thank you, Mark, and beautiful song. I think that goes along with the message today. Take your Bible, if you're standing here, please, if you're able to stand, take your Bible. I want you to go to the Gospel of John, chapter number 4. Gospel of John, chapter number 4. It's interesting to me to see this morning the songs that have been sung and that they kind of go along with needs. And we're going to see here in the Gospel of John, chapter 4, a great need. I'm going to start here in verse number 1. John chapter 4, verse number 1. When therefore the Lord knew how the Pharisees had heard that Jesus made and baptized more disciples than John, though Jesus himself baptized not, but his disciples, he left Judea and departed again into Galilee. And he must needs go through Samaria. Then cometh to him, then he cometh to a city of Samaria, which is called Sychar, near to the parcel of ground that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied with his journey, sat thus on the well, and it was about the sixth hour, or about noon. There cometh a woman of Samaria to draw water. Jesus saith unto her, give me to drink. For his disciples were gone away into the city to buy meat. Then saith the woman of Samaria unto him, how is it that thou being a Jew askest drink of me, which am a woman of Samaria? For the Jews have no dealings with the Samaritans. Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knewest the gift of God, and who it is that saith to thee, give me to drink, thou wouldest have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. The woman saith unto him, sir, thou hast nothing to draw with, and the well is deep. From whence then hast thou that living water? Art thou greater than our father Jacob, which gave us the well, and drank thereof himself and his children and his cattle? Jesus answered and said unto her, whosoever drinketh of this water, underline that little word, this, in your Bible. Whosoever drinketh of this water shall thirst again. But whosoever drinketh of the water that I shall give him shall never thirst, but the water that I shall give him shall be in him a well of water springing up into everlasting life. The woman saith unto him, sir, give me this water, that I thirst not, neither come hither to draw. Jesus saith unto her, go call thy husband and come hither. The woman answered and said, I have no husband. Jesus said unto her, thou hast well said, I have no husband, for thou hast had five husbands, and he whom thou now hast is not thy husband. In that sayest thou truly. The woman saith unto him, sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. You worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. But the hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth, for the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. The woman saith unto him, I know that Messiah cometh, which is called Christ. When he is come, he will tell us all things. Jesus saith unto her, I that speak unto thee am he. Let's pray. Father, thank you for these words today, and we thank you for the songs that have been sung, the needs that have been reached in the songs and the messages that come from them. But Father, we thank you most especially today for the words that we were allowed to read and hear today from your holy word. This is the holy word of God, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. I don't know about you, But how often are you watched? How often do you think about being watched when no one is around? There's a website that is on TV and are on our computers and everything. It's kind of entitled this. It's kind of the secrecy of what you think you are. And it has cameras everywhere. You know, we have cameras everywhere, don't we? There's cameras in stores. There's cameras on the streets. There's cameras up hundreds of miles in the sky that can watch down and watch each and every one of us. There's cameras on doors and in doorways. There's cameras everywhere. It's interesting to me. How many of you are like I am? When you go into a place or you're involved and there's a lot of people around and you just like watching people. Just like watching people. What do you do or what do I do when we think no one's watching? Or how do we act when we don't think anyone sees? You know, we're living in a day and age where there is no secrets. No secrets. They're in schools, cameras in schools. There's cameras everywhere. Hey, how many of you knew that you walked in today and there was a camera watching you today? Did any of you know that? They're all over this place. They're everywhere. Did any of you realize that when you walked in today? You're being watched. I scared you, didn't I? A little fearful? Not really. Not really. You see, there's invisible pain, isn't there? And how we handle the things that no one else knows. You see, in this room today, there's hurts and there's pains and there's suffering, and you think no one knows or no one cares. But that's not necessarily the case, is it? The hurt. As we travel through our lives and we come in contact with people, we never know exactly what they're going through, do we? We only know what we're going through. And we travel through, and maybe it's a neighbor. I heard the other day, I think it was John, you told me the other day that one of our neighbors had a fire in his garage. I didn't know about it. I didn't know he had a fire in his garage, and he was injured, and he's not in good health. I didn't even know it. Friends, family members, spouses, coworkers. We go through life and we rub shoulders with people, but we really don't know what they're going through, do we? We don't know what the issues are. I think this is what we find in this chapter of John that I'm talking about today. John chapter 4, this woman coming to the well. And she's really asking the question, does anybody really care about me? Does anybody really care? Maybe you're here this morning and you're thinking that too. Does anybody really care what's going on? We should. But do we really? As we go through our daily lives all week, we encounter people and we encounter them and we pass them by and we make the comments, well, how are you doing? Oh, I'm doing fine. Are they really? Or are we really when we say, okay, I'm doing okay? But are we really? When we look at this first portion of scripture here that we read, we learn a lot about Jesus' personality, don't we? We learn his humanity in the sense that he's tired. It's noon. It's the sixth hour of the day. It's noon. It's hot. And he goes to the well and he sits there at the well and he goes and he wants a drink. You know, as I was reading through this, It never does say Jesus gets a drink, does it? It never does say he gets a drink. And it never does say that she gives him one. But they talk about water, the living water of life. And he intentionally goes to this well for a drink, but he knows, being God, that he's going there specifically to talk to a woman who needs his help. And he knows that. And so it's customary for people to come early in the morning to the well, or late in the evening when it's not as hot. But this woman comes at the middle of the day. Why? Well, we can understand that. She feels inferior. We find out a little later that Jesus asked her to go get her husband. She said, "I don't have a husband." He says, "I know. You've had 5 husbands." Now, just imagine how she feels. You see, in that day and age, a woman couldn't divorce her husband. Only the men can divorce the women. Okay, so she's had 5 husbands, and she's gone through divorce 5 times. And now she's living with another man. And so she comes to the well at noonday knowing that there won't be anybody there at noonday. And notice as we read through this scripture, there's just 2 at the well. 2 at the well. Jesus and her. And as we see this scripture here, she comes and she feels inferior. She feels embarrassed. She is a Samaritan. She knows she's living in sin. And she knows life hasn't dealt her a great deal. And so, she feels rejected and alone. You know, I don't know about you this morning. I can just say this. Maybe you feel alone. You know, you can be in a crowd of hundreds of people and feel alone. You know that? You can be. I think we do. But most importantly, the Lord Jesus does. I'm going to ask today that we stand one more time. As we bow our heads this morning, as we pray, Lord, the Lord knows, Lord, you know what transpires in every single one of our lives today. You know where we really are. You know where we are spiritually, and you know where we are physically. And the situation there that I was going to bring up is the fact that this, and this is what really hits home. You see, that woman met Jesus at the well that day. You know, this may be your well experience right now. This might be your well experience in the sense that spiritually speaking, there's a time where God intervenes in our lives. He comes to us at the very most unique time. It might be a time of sorrow. It might be a time of suffering. It might be a time of loneliness. It might be a time when we don't even realize it. She was going to that well that day thinking, "I'm just going to get water." But she left, having received the living water of life. Now, I want to be honest with you today. I don't know your life. I don't know where your mind is or what your physical condition is. I don't even know where you are mentally, and I don't even know if you're living in sin or whatever. Jesus knows, doesn't he? He knows. He knows us inside and out. And we can't hide anything. And this woman was coming basically because she was hiding herself from humanity. We can do that. We can hide ourselves. We can crawl in a little box someplace and say, "Hey,
No one knows, but it's not true. There's someone who does know. And that day she came to that well for water, but she left with living water. That's what I wanted for us today. More than anything else, I want to make sure that we came today. Oh, we might have come to just visit. We might have come because of relationships. We might have come for a number of reasons. I come because you pay me to come. Not really. But why did you come? She came just because she thought she was going to be there by herself at noonday to get water. But she met Jesus. I want you to meet Jesus. The real Jesus Christ, who loves you more, as this woman found out. He loves me more than anyone I have ever known. Doesn't that make sense today? Isn't that the reason we come to church? Is because we want to meet Jesus Christ for our very needs. And the very conditions that we have in life, regardless of what they may be, emotional, physical, maybe even economy, I don't know. But he meets our needs. And he meets us exactly where we are every single time. And he met this woman's need for love. I don't know what it would be like to be married to five women and then live with another one. I wouldn't have any idea. I don't know of anybody that does. I don't know of anybody. Well, I take it back. I do know one gentleman who tried it. What a disaster. But I think that's what she felt her life was all about, a disaster. Her name's not given. I thank God for people in the scriptures whose names aren't even given. But you know, one day when we walk down the streets of heaven and we're going to see this woman, and you know, I don't know, but I'll meet her one day. I'll guarantee you, I'll meet her one day. And she said, "Nah, I'm the woman at the well." Because God placed me forever and ever and ever in his holy word. What a privilege. So I ask us today, what's your need? What's your need? Doesn't it make sense to be honest with God and say, he knows my need before I ever have it? And welcome him to the very being the very source of our need. So as you stand here this morning, I just ask, as we bow and pray, that you would acknowledge your need before him, whatever it might be, because he already knows. He already knows what you need more than you know it yourself. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are an open book. We are an open book before you, Lord, and we are an open book in the sense that you created us and you know all our needs. And so, Father, today we acknowledge those needs. Some just need to be lifted up. Lifted up spiritually. Some need to be lifted up physically, and there's many, many physical issues on our prayer list. Some feel lonely. Lonely. And Lord, you know that too. But the scripture says you're a friend that sticks closer than a brother. Some today, you know, Father, whatever the need might be, maybe they feel rejected somewhere down the line. They've been rejected for whatever reason. You know that need also. And so, Lord, we come into your presence as we bow before you. And we just ask, Lord Jesus, you met her at the well, meet us at the well of our need too. And so, Father, we give you praise, thanking you today. In Jesus' holy name, amen. Amen. Thank you today. Dismissed.